Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Whiston. Self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Before we begin, Lisa and Jackie would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and the places on which we record our podcast. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Sustainable You podcast. I am your host, Lisa Whiston, and I'm here with my co-host,
Jackie Kidman.
Welcome. So today we bring to you another one of our chats with a business that is doing amazing things in the sustainability space and helping us all to live more sustainable lives. We are going to be chatting with Julie, who is from Flora and Fauna. Now, Jackie, you have been dealing with Flora and Fauna as a customer, is that right?
Yes, I purchase products through them. It's one of those sort of one-stop shop kind of stores, I guess you could call them, that already have kind of done the groundwork on the product. So whether it's sustainable, ethically sourced, you know, that sort of stuff. So they kind of put it together. It's one of those brands that I sort of feel I can go there and then I can kind of go, oh, right, you know, like that's the brand that I'm okay and comfortable with. And that's how I learn about that sort of stuff rather than doing the research myself.
Yeah.
It's kind of a company that's done it for you. And then I can purchase what I need through them.
Awesome. So
this interview actually came about. We need to do a little bit of a shout out to one of our community members, Justine, who has just started working with you guys. So Justine has been one of our listeners for, I don't know, I think probably from the beginning, really. She quite often listens to us on public transport. So, hey, Justine. So Justine actually messaged us and said something really inspiring, which was just beautiful. I don't know if you saw the message or not, Lisa, but she said that we had inspired her to pursue her passion on working with a more sustainable organisation, and that's where she sought a employment with Flora and Fauna. So anyway, that was a long-winded introduction to Julie, but
yes.
Welcome, Julie, and thank you for coming on to our podcast today.
Thank you. And yes, I'll do a big shout out to Justine as well, like the star of the day. Yeah, she's only been with us 2 or 3 weeks and she's brilliant. She's amazing. So thanks, Justine.
So I guess to start with, tell us about Julie and about Flora.
Yeah. So Julie, what do I do? So I live in a place called Galston, which is in New South Wales. We're in the bush. We're on 5 acres of bush. It's beautiful. We have a pet pig and 4 cats. Most of them have just sort of rescued over the years. And a husband and a gorgeous baby, Woody, and another one due in 2 months. So my life is full outside of work, if there is an outside of work. And I'm very driven by making things better. So that's what gets me up in the morning. And I've worked in retail for now 28 years. So a really long time, from my first job in a bakery at the age of 15. So I love retail. It's in my core. It's in my blood. It's what gets me up every day, along with making things better. And I love the tangibility of it all. And I'd worked for, over the years, I've worked for heaps of different retailers. So big ones in Australia, like both Coles and Woolies, and lots overseas too. And I kind of got to the point where I was trying to influence change from inside those big, big retailers. And it's very hard to do in reality. And kudos to anyone who manages to do it. And I thought, right, I can either keep trying to do this or I can do my own thing. And I was also just a slightly frustrated entrepreneur as well, wanting to do my own thing. So over the years, I'd come up with all sorts of ideas, terrible ideas about businesses to start. So in 2014, I set up Flora and Fauna. And that really combined my passion for retail, because I thought, hey, that's what I'm good at. That's what I'm skilled in. Let's use that skill with also my passion for animal welfare and the environment, and brought them together to create Flora and Fauna. And we since then, so we launched November 2014 and now it's 2020. We're still here and we've grown a lot. We love what we do. We have now sort of 30-ish people in the team and send orders out globally. and have some awesome initiatives. So we're totally driven by our purpose, which is to help everyone make better choices. And that drives every decision we make. So we drive with purpose, and then profit we look at secondary. If we have to make a decision, it's made purpose first and foremost, which means that we don't make decisions based on cash, basically. So we can maintain and keep our ethics and values. So that's us. That's kind of how I got to that point in a really short time frame.
And what do you sell? Give our customers an idea of the products that we have.
We started off November 2014 when we launched. We were just beauty. We had 30 different brands. We had about 500 products. We've now got 7,000 products. We've got about 300 brands. And we are still really hardcore in makeup, body, skincare. Lots of it is zero waste. And that's been a huge change over the year, which is fantastic. Shampoo bars, I can't get enough of them. I think they're amazing. But we also sell baby and kids products. We sell home, lots of reusable products. We sell health and wellness, but also a little bit of food, some ethical fashion. It's a really broad suite of products that we have now. And over the years, we've really expanded our range in terms of what our customers have asked for. And we've gone out to them over the years and said, what do you want? We stock all of the products that our warehouse in North Rocks, and we also have our own brand as well, which is called Green and Kind. So we don't do drop shipping or anything of that nature, and we send everything out plastic free in a recycled box, which is made down the road, and with a handwritten note on everyone.
I love that. I love a handwritten note.
Yeah, we've now written 500,000 handwritten notes, which wow. is insane. Yeah, I did the first few thousand, and then we got help.
Yeah, you would need it.
I think that I bought a dress, actually. I was just looking up to try and think. Pretty flora and fauna, what brand was it?
Tourjou or Tassie Travels?
I thought it was C something, but maybe.
I don't know.
I'm sure I got the link through. I'm sure that was something that came through from you. But yeah, love. You know, like I do a lot of my items are secondhand, so they're free loved.
Awesome.
Lisa's more of she makes her own kind of clothes.
Amazing.
And then when I was like, I wanted to get something that was, you know, what else was there that I could support? I had a couple of weddings and, you know, I needed something that was something else. That's what I did. I went to your website, had a look at what sort of, you know, sustainable ethical source, like fashion was kind of already in there. And then, you know, like, so,
yeah.
You know, by doing that sort of step already for people, which I love that. I love that. Just take all the thinking out of it for people, because people are very overloaded, and then they might purchase something and kind of say, and then they got greenwashed, and you know, like, and then be,
yeah,
what's the point? What's the point of me doing that? And I think there are more and more businesses out there that are kind of doing it for people.
That was a big prompt for Flora and Fauna, actually, because I remember, which is kind of what sparked the idea, was I was trying to find a lipstick, and beauty is drives me nuts, to be honest. Because you can't, it's the ingredients, they're not transparent, basically, the big brands, not transparent about what the ingredients are. You don't really know what's in it. You don't know how it's made, whether it's been tested on animals, all of that sort of stuff. And as a result, it's a grey purchasing decision. And even if you ask questions now to some of the bigger guys, which is, you know, do you test on animals? They'll say, you know, they'll give you a fluffy response, which is, we don't unless required to by law and blah, 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 blah. So they're just kind of like corporatizing their way out of answering the question. And that was one of the main reasons, because I was like, right, let's create a destination where people don't have to check the ingredients, because there isn't any fillers and SLSs and phthalates and all that sort of stuff in it. But also, you know that these products haven't been tested on animals.
Yeah.
And that was really, really important, because I found it very difficult to purchase. So I just thought, well, if I'm finding it hard, then loads of places are going to find it hard. And that was back in 2014, and things have absolutely moved on since then. But back then it was difficult.
Yeah. But so have also the marketing is getting also getting more confusing for people.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Available, but there's also, there's marketers have just cottoned onto it and they're like.
Well, there was one ad the other night, and I shan't name and shame, despite as much as I'd like to, but it was on the TV, and I don't know what even what it was. It's like a face cream or something. But they were there saying, blah, blah, face cream. It's vegan. And it's la la la. And I'm there sort of screaming at the telly, going, but you're not cruelty free because you test on animals. So this is where there's absolute greenwashing, because customers will go, oh, amazing, it's vegan. And they automatically assume that that means cruelty free and ethical and doesn't have nasty ingredients in it. And you go, no, 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 they've latched on to something. Hmm. And yeah, it frustrates me because it isn't transparent.
Hmm. Yeah. So in establishing flora and fauna, what obstacles have you encountered?
So, and it's an interesting one, because I think I'm really pragmatic about life in general and quite unstressy. So I haven't encountered any obstacles that I don't think any other business would encounter. Mm-hmm. So I often get asked the question, is it hard to operate an ethical business and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know what? The things that we encounter are the same things that everyone else encounters. So growth, as an example, and coping with that growth. Now, when I started Flora and Fauna, we didn't have any investment other than what I was doing, what I put in, my measly savings. So you're starting on a shoestring. And that definitely, it's what makes it really fun at the start in some ways, because it's low risk and you only have yourself to answer to. So I always went into it going, put in what you're prepared to lose, basically, like any good investment, I suppose. But we grew, and then we had the challenges of, well, when do we recruit someone who's not my husband and myself? It felt such a big hurdle to get across, because you're suddenly going, I'm recruiting someone and I'm responsible for someone else's income, and that's slightly terrifying. And then we recruited a few people, and you just learn so much along the way. And I think that's one of the big things. You have to be open to learning how to run a business, because it's so different that from working in a big business where you don't have to worry about HR or processes or policies or any of that sort of stuff. And then suddenly you do. So I suppose they're not necessarily obstacles. They're just things you've got to find out along the way. And one of the things we did have actually was, I think it was 20, or where are we now? 20. We moved into our new warehouse September 2018. And in July 2017, Plastic Free July went absolutely crazy for us. And our sales pretty much doubled. That was an obstacle in terms of, we were based out of pretty much our garage. So we have a really awesome shed, as we call it, on our property, and that's where we were running out of. And we were based out of there, and then suddenly sales doubled, but we couldn't get orders out the door quick enough. So we had to go and recruit people. So we recruited 10 people in a week by putting a Facebook post up.
Wow.
Just going,
isn't it?
It was just like, oh my God, we need help. We need help. So, and it's like, does anybody want to work in Galston? Anyone at all? So we recruited 10 people. And then, but it, what was great is doing that on Facebook. We suddenly had a heap of people apply. And that meant that they started the next Monday. So it really didn't take us long to shift through that. And then we got to the point where we just ran out of space. So we ended up buying a shipping container. We put stock in the shipping container. We had stock everywhere. It was like a treasure hunt. So we did that. And then we realized we had to move warehouse. And but it took us a fair amount of time to find a warehouse, because two that we found fell through. I'm actually really pleased about that, because they were about half the size of where we are now. And where we are now, we're running out of space.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's probably the biggest obstacle for us, is just predicting the growth. Keeping up with the growth, but also predicting that at some point there isn't going to be growth. And so you don't want to overcook it and then go, oh, hang on, that wasn't what we were expecting. So it's a really challenging time with any growing business, I think. And that's been probably one of the biggest issues for us.
I would imagine, though, that with a background in retail and having worked for larger retail corporations as well, that would have given you a fairly good understanding of the process and the systems that you needed to know about. So you're already.
Yes, that's it. And I think with that, some of the things that might be obstacles for others probably weren't for us. Because I went, okay, cool. We know how to set up a website, do all of that sort of stuff, but also we know how to buy products, we know how to source, we know what to look for, how to reorder, do purchase orders, all of the kind of the basic stuff, which, yeah, I imagine if you are starting out and you have never done retail, it would be quite a challenge.
Yeah.
But those are things which were like, great, I'm using my skill set, so that's really good. So the, yeah, so the other obstacles are the ones which are just like, oh, I don't know what to do with that. But you just take them again. You just, I'm a big fan of control what you can control and don't stress about things that are out of your control.
What about the obstacle of working with your husband?
Yeah. I know.
But yeah, I work with my husband 2 hours a week and that is enough.
You know what? Tom is awesome. I love working with him. And it's because we're really different. So we complement each other really well. We don't get into each other's spaces. So I'm very much more strategy, buying, marketing, website. And he's an engineer by trade. So he is process, finance, operations. He executes and he's Mr. Deliverer. Yeah. So actually together, we work really, really well because we do complement each other. Now, half the time we forget we're married. And it's like, oh, we must remember we are married, actually. But also you can have those very real conversations and not stress too much that you're kind of irritating
them. I'm going to get sued for sexual harassment or something like that.
I know. Oh, my God. I know. Oh.
Well, at least you would know that you're
imagine. Can you imagine?
Too, you know, like, and I would find that it wouldn't be too much that if you've got different strengths, then that would work okay. But it would be also the fact that it might be hard to turn off the business hat, like, and to forget the business and have your other life as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm very bad at this in general. Or not very bad, actually. It's just who I am.
Yeah.
I do not turn off. So for me, flora and fauna is kind of through my veins. So I think about it, live it, breathe it all the time. And when I was working for other people and doing other jobs, I absolutely wanted to turn off and I needed that me time. But when it's this being me, and I think also because it's a purpose driven business and the purpose is my purpose and the values are my values.
Yeah.
I think that means that it's just an extension of me. But yeah, it's a really interesting one because we can't do much without talking about flora and fauna. Like, we'll go on a walk and we might talk about something for about 2 minutes and then it just whoop, comes right back to flora and fauna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but.
That you're creating too, like with your children, you know, at this you know, it has that environmental sustainability, you know, that sort of aspect to it, which I feel that it is definitely a legacy that you're working towards for the future. So I can see how,
absolutely,
you know, you are flora and fauna.
Yeah,
that's to live and breathe it. You live and breathe it.
Yeah, yeah. I want to create a better business. So for me, part of it is about conscious consumerism, but also part of it is about creating, we're a B Corp, so really focused on being that better business. And it's about saying, hey, retailers can look like this, be ethical, be grow, be profitable, and operate in this way. And hopefully be something that other businesses can also do. And that's a very important aspect for me, is about changing the industry. So I do a lot around that in terms of sharing knowledge and talking at events and all of that sort of stuff. And yeah, and diversity and inclusion is a big thing that I'm very focused on. Yeah, there's just all elements. What's very cool when you run your own business like this is that you can go, great, I want to go and make change in that area. Mm. And you can just go and do it without having to go to build a business case over it, which always used to drive me nuts.
Boring.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to ask, in terms of moving on and moving into the future, do you have a particular direction or vision that you have for where you want your business to go, or what sort of life we'll all be living, and how we'll all be consuming things?
So vision all up for me. So if I look at the world and where I want the world to go, and I think you've always got to go, that's where we aim to go. And even if we get a little bit of the way there, then that's better than aiming lower. We need to, and this sounds fluffy, but I'll explain it. We need to have a kinder world, basically. I want the world to be kinder. That encapsulates so much. So it's how we manage our waste. It's how we treat each other, because we're pretty bad at treating it, at how we deal with each other. It is how we shop. It is diversity and making sure that everyone is truly included, which isn't just gender, but, you know, it's culture, it's disabilities, it's being a very open, kind world. That's where I want us to get to. That's what I would love. And we'll get part of the way there for sure. Absolutely. You know, I'm no illusion that we're probably not going to get the whole way there, but it encapsulates a lot. And then so for us as a business, really, we're going to keep doing, we're going to keep pushing the boundaries. We're going to keep coming up with new initiatives, and we're going to keep offering people different things, but also coming up with initiatives that change the way we think about stuff. And to the point where really in the future, if I'm being very unbiased about the whole thing and selfless about the whole thing, flora and fauna shouldn't have to exist, because every business is doing what we do.
Yeah.
And that in a way is kind of what we, from a hugely selfless perspective, I still want flora and fauna to exist, but the ideal is that if every business does what we do, then there should be no need for us. So we'll see.
Yeah, like of making yourself redundant for a better purpose. Do you know what I mean? Like it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same with us as the podcast, is that at times, like, we sort of feel like, oh, well, everybody already knows that. You know, like, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah.
If we talk about it, no one knows about it. It's just like, the more that we mention that copycats, the disposable copycats aren't recyclable, the more people and it's like, it's, you know, like, we still sort of say 2020 and we still don't know that, like, it's, there is that kind of element. I mean, we're not theoretically a business, but, you know, like, of making yourself redundant, wearing so much, and you're creating this environment where it's just, that's just what people do, and it's how the world operates. But I, to a degree, don't know, you know, I don't think we'd ever get there, to a degree.
Yeah, I know, it's constant, it's just constant. Yeah, no, I agree. When I think we've talked about things a lot, and then I go, oh, we've talked about that quite a bit, let's not talk about it again. And then we do, we put something on social media, and then we get a lot of people going, I had no idea. And you're like, we've just got to keep saying this, we've got to keep talking about it, because every time we're talking to new people, and yeah, you're right, it's just a constant education.
And we might have said it, and they might have heard it before, but they didn't actually take it in. That's the other thing, is some people just aren't ready to sometimes
get
too much information that comes from everywhere. And what's that? You need to see a brand, or you need to see something, you know, like, it used to be 11 times. I think now, because we're so inundated with brands and stuff, that it's something like, it's up to 17, 18 times. You need to go, oh, flora and fauna, what's that? Or I've seen that before. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah.
In terms of each consumer, we've got so much consumer knowledge and everything coming to us that we just don't recognize, or we just don't hear the messages anymore. So yeah, we keep repeating it and keep doing that sort of stuff. And okay, but it's hard, because we're the same. Like, we sort of feel like, oh, do we really need to talk about that? Are people going to be interested in that? But then they are. Like, it's like, wow, okay, people are interested.
Yeah.
In how you recycle again? You know, when you think
that. Yeah.
But it's just not.
To finish up today, if we could ask you, as we ask many of our interview subjects, what would be your one tip for people, for our listeners, to take around sustainability? What would you recommend?
Okay, so my tip is a little bit broad, but just start. So I think so many people think that they need to go from zero to hero, and you don't. ignore people trying to shame you or any of that sort of nonsense. Just ignore that. Do you, but make small changes. So whether that is getting a compost bin and putting your scraps into compost, like that's an awesome change to make. We're really lucky. We've got a pig. We've got like a mobile composter. But she's amazing. She's amazing. But it could be that. It could be, you know, the one you mentioned before, the coffee cup. It could be as simple as the coffee cup and saying to yourself, if I forget my reusable coffee cup, I'm not allowed a coffee today. Like, I'm not allowed it. That's just, sorry, but that's my penance for forgetting my coffee cup. Water bottles. So some of these really low-hanging fruit are things that people can still do and still need to do. And I always think, crikey, we're on board with, surely we're on board with reusable water bottles. And then I still see so many people walking around with plastic water bottles. So I think it's small changes and just make a change, make it stick, do it for a couple of weeks, make it sticky, rather than going, I've got to change my entire life and buying lots of stuff, because it will invariably mean buying lots of stuff and then you don't make any of that stick. So much, much better to make small changes. One that I would recommend though, anybody to get on board with, because I'm a big fan, is shampoo and conditioner bars. They are amazing. And they come in a cardboard, we have a few brands at Flora Fauna, but they come in a cardboard box. They last a long time. Your hair, it's the same as shampoo and conditioner. There's no nasty ingredients in them. And once you're done, you're done. And they're really good for travel too. So that is one where I go, I feel like that's a bit of a hidden gem at the moment that everyone should look at. But again, just make small changes. Slow and steady. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Julie. It's been a
pleasure.
Wonderful to talk to you. Jackie and I could talk.
Oh, thank you.
I know.
I'm a chatter. Oh, thank you for having me. No, I've really enjoyed being on. So thank you.
You're welcome. We will share links to your site on
awesome.
Our notes. But just if you would like to mention, where can our listeners find you?
Okay, cool. So I'll give you a few links. So our website is floraandfauna.com.au. And we've also got Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and YouTube. That's all Flora and Fauna AU. And then I also do quite a lot. I share a lot of stuff on LinkedIn as well, which is just Julie Mathers. So I'm constantly spouting off about something or the other. Feel free to connect.
Thank you, Julie. What a wonderful chat Jackie and I had. We thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you, learning about your business, your achievements, and your plans for the future. What wonderful advice for everybody to take is to just start something simple, make it stick or make it sticky, and then you'll see how the opportunities will come from there. So great message to leave you with today. Jackie and I will be back in a fortnight with a new episode to help you become a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or connect via email at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created by Lisa and Jackie and produced by Fran from 17th Street Audio. If you appreciate the podcasting information shared, please like, subscribe, and share. If you are listening on iTunes, Jackie and Lisa would appreciate you giving them a 5-star rating and writing a review to help other people find their podcast.